prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, all. This is Financial Survival, sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver. And no, I am not Melody Cederstrom or Alfred Adask. They have the day off. Actually, they got a couple of days off for Thanksgiving and asked me to sit in for them today. Tomorrow, everybody has the day off tomorrow. But today, I am sitting in for them on Financial Survival. So, let's start with the markets and the metal prices, and then we'll bring Wendy Wilson on. Let's see. It looks like the Dow is up $12.69 to $17,827.63, which, you know, is crazy to me. But anyway, hey, there you go. Can you say bubble? But the NASDAQ's up $29.07, all right, to $4,787. 0.32, and the S&P is up $5.76. So, boy, oh boy, everything's up, 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 right? Oh, man, is this a great country or what, huh? You know, the thing is, remember the old adage, everything that goes up must come down. And the higher it goes, the further it has to fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. All these little platitudes here, hey, you know what? They are truisms. So, you know, hey, if you're in the stock market, better watch out, you know. You're at a casino, folks. That's what you're doing. You're at a casino, which is great. It's fun. You know, you want to gamble, that's great. But never gamble with anything you can't afford to lose. All right? That's a real good rule to stay with. Anyway, I'm unfamiliar with the currency markets here, and I'm having a little trouble finding the U.S. dollar. They got every other currency listed here other than the U.S. dollar. But, hey, we'll look at this. Everything's down. The Canadian dollar, the United Kingdom pound, the European euro, the Japanese yen, all down. They're all down, okay? Which means the U.S. dollar is probably up because they're all a comparative thing. It's not, there is no standard. Okay, here's the standard, and you're up and you're down, and you're up and you're down. No, they're all relative to each other. So if all these other currencies are going down, that means that the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is probably going up as it has been doing. Bonds, 3-month treasury. Today's yield is 0.01%. Wow! Is that big money or what? Man, are you kidding me? The 10-year treasury is 2.23%, and the 30-year treasury is 2.94%. Sheesh. Are you kidding me? I mean, why would anybody invest in that? What kind of return is that? I mean, that's almost savings account return. Anyway, let's go to the metals. This is where you should be paying attention, folks. Oh, let's see here. Gold looks like it's down $3.60, $11.98.60. And silver is down 10 cents to $16.67. Platinum is up $4 to $1,231. Palladium is up $10 to $806. And rhodium has stayed level at $11.35. Anyway, so there you have it. There it is. That's what's going on in the markets. Maybe I'll run through this one more time before we close out the day. But for right now, we are going to bring on Wendy Wilson. Welcome, Wendy.
Hello, Frank. I almost said hello, Al, you know. Frank, this is so weird because, you know, usually you're engineering the shows and I'm not used to talking with you on the air.
That's true. That's true. I don't do this very often, but, you know, I any opportunity I get to be on the radio, I usually take it. So what are we talking about today in herbs and alternative health? Hello?
I'm sorry. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I bumped my button again and I shut off my mic. I apologize. There's a couple things we talk about. A lot of people are concerned about the flu season and people have trouble discerning, well, do I have a cold? Do I have a flu? Or, you know, do I have something worse than a flu? Well, like a hemorrhagic fever thing going on?
What's the difference between a cold and a flu? Because when I was a kid, nobody ever had the flu. Everybody got sick and said, oh, I got a cold. Now, it seems everybody gets sick, they go, I got the flu. What happened?
It's sort of like, you know, Mom, what do I have? Well, you starve a fever and you feed a cold kind of thing. Well, there's some symptom overlap is what, people get confused. Even doctors don't really know a lot of times what you have. And if they really wanted to know, they'd have to, you know, take some samples, run some tests because we've got so many viruses now. And anyway, cold, flu. Well, colds will offer a milder symptom than the flu, typically. Okay, so you may have, the throat, the nose, or the respiratory affected, but if it's the flu, it's more predominant. Okay, so a flu is going to deliver you a higher fever over 102 typically. A flu will deliver chills and intense fatigue. Okay, usually you're not going to work if you've got the flu. If you have a cold, you can kind of muddle through. The flu also is going to be characteristic of a lot of muscle aches and phlegm. You know, I mean, phlegm galore. And also you're going to have a headache, typically, if you have the flu bug. People have these horrendous headaches. And the flu will make you nauseated. You won't really have an appetite. You'll be hungry, but nothing seems to be what you want. And also the flu is going to usher in the risk of having bacterial infections, and oftentimes pneumonia will set in. So that's the big, you know, highlight characteristic that's the dividing line between your typical cold and the flu.
Now, we keep hearing about every year, they got the new flu vaccination, and it's for this strain and that strain. And how many different flus are there, really?
Well, we have a lot of subtypes, A and B. We have, you know, hundreds. Okay, you would have to live your entire life and you still wouldn't have run through all the viruses.
Wow, that's encouraging.
Okay, yeah, I know. So we have a lot of subtypes and then we have a lot of mutating forms. And I think a lot of the pathogens are now being tinkered or messed with in laboratories. So I just think if you stay away from this holiday season, stay away from a lot of excess sugar and alcohol and dairy products, and you'll typically do your immune system a favor, okay? Eating too much sugar, and we get like a month's worth of sugar in Thanksgiving, Okay, people eat too much sugar. Same thing for Christmas. Then you've got these kids that get 8 to 10 colds and flu bugs a year. Because, you know, they just came off of Halloween, which was the sugar coma day. And then you've got Thanksgiving here a month later and then follow it with another month of Christmas stuff. So sugar turns off an immune system in a skinny minute. So it makes you more vulnerable to all these viruses floating around. So if you limit the sugar, you're going to enhance your immune system function.
Well, now, we always hear about, you know, wash your hands, use these hand wipes, and you know, try to limit your contact. Now, which is more important, the intake of sugar or, you know, washing your hands and watching out what you touch, or are they equally important?
They're equally important, but let's just put it this way. If you had a lot of sugar and your immune system is going to be suppressed for 8 to 12 hours, and then you touch surfaces and you didn't wash your hands, then you're really at risk of picking something up. So they're really both important. You know, hand sanitizers, people use those a lot. I prefer good old-fashioned hot water and soap.
Right.
But anyway, you know, just people pick up a third of their excess body weight during the holidays.
I've read some stuff about, you know, these hand sanitizers have alcohol in them, and alcohol creates flukes or something in your, and that does. I think soap and water is probably, it's been
better
good
way.
For a long time. It's probably still good. Now, how relevant is, because a lot of people say, well, you know, oh, I think I got a cold or a flu or something because, you know, I got cold and wet. Now, how relevant is cold and wet, really, to getting the flu or cold versus, say, you know, touching the wrong things, not washing your hands, eating too much sugar?
Well, obviously, you know, you can get chilled, and that can put you at a risk. Some people are more susceptible to temperatures than others. I know I am. I got Latin blood, so I don't like the cold. But I think if you do get cold and wet, I think it does give your immune system a run for its money. It can weaken you a little bit and open the door of opportunity to an infection. So I think there's a lot to, you know, the old fashioned, you know, 100 years ago, you know, they didn't want you outside. You'll get the death of cold, you know, because they were really the death of colds because they didn't have a whole lot to deal with except herbs. If they didn't have any herbs, then they had nothing. So you definitely want to stay warm and dry. Don't put it at risk. I see people running in 50 and 40 degree weather in the rain, and I just think it puts them at risk. I wouldn't do it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, it I would think that it would put a strain on your body, taking energy away from protecting you from viruses and bacteria, whatever that, you know, creates a flu or a cold. But, you know, it is actually viruses or bacteria that give you the sickness, right?
Yes. You definitely want to use your preventative type of herbs. I like to use some herbs that don't overstimulate the immune system. I like to use those when I'm really sick, so that I can shorten my duration of illness. But a lot of people say, well, what do I use? What's the difference? So astragalus root is a nice one if you're trying to, you know, stay healthy through the holidays. Don't want to pick up anything at the, you know, Thanksgiving meal with family. Or if you're out shopping and you're bumping into a lot of people, you definitely want to use something that's going to heighten your resistance level. And that would be astragalus root. You can use a combination of onion and garlic, both antiviral, bacterial, and fungal. So you can use some of that. I know people don't like the way they smell when they consume that stuff. So you can use we have a tonic that we make at Apothecary Herbs with those herbs and some other ones in there. So you can take a shot glass of that. It's about an ounce. And that really does cut phlegm, too. So if you feel a little phlegmy, you can use that.
Garlic and onions are absolutely my favorite.
I know. And, you're the big one. Yeah, you know, but, that and cayenne.
Now, yeah, and that, too, because that seems to boost everything that you take. But now, I listen to Herb Talk Live, and I think I've heard you say that now if you're going to take garlic, you know, it's going to stink. But isn't there a solution to that? Didn't you mention cloves or something?
People who know me typically know I tend to run around with some whole cloves in my purse. And, you know, if they're at, you know, a meeting or whatever, they'll kind of nudge me and say, give me one. Because it's a natural breath freshener. Cloves, it's an ingredient they often put in smoker's gum, you know, to get rid of the, you know, aroma of smoke or smokers, trying to get rid of that aroma. But what you do, it's a whole clove. It's not the powdered kind. It's the kind that cloves, you know, grandma used to stick into ham, you know, and give it the clovey smell. So you just stick it between a cheek and gum, and it just gives us this wonderful cleansing of the mouth, if you will. It's kind of a mini cleanse. And when it gets all soggy, just, you know, spit it out and put another one in. But it's very cleansing. It does get rid of that garlic breath if you're worried about smelling like you're, you know, a bulb of garlic. And it doesn't have all those sugars and artificial sweeteners that you do find in breath mints.
Sounds like the best of both worlds. You get to get the benefits of garlic and onion, and you don't have to stink.
And some people will just, you know, use a little parsley, or, you know, usually what you find on your plate as a garnish. Mm-hmm. Actually, in old days, it was for breath freshening. It wasn't just a garnish. You were supposed to eat it after a meal, and improved digestion has the chlorophyll in it. And it's kind of where the breath mint got, or the after-dinner mint got its start.
Wow. Most people don't even, you know, they put that to the side like it's plastic.
Oh, I know. I know. But, I know.
Well, hey, Wendy, why don't you give us all the information and also a couple of products that you have for, you know, cold and flu, and where they can get it.
Absolutely. We have a website for those of our listeners are on the Internet a lot. They can go to thepowerherbs.com. We have a lot of our products in categories, so you can click on the category that you're looking for, whether it's immune boosting, allergy, cardio, and you'll see what we have there. We do also have some kits. We have a cold and flu kit. We have a pandemic kit that you can use for cold and flu as well. So we have lots of little handy things that you can have on hand. And we have some for prevention, some for getting over illnesses like the flu in 2 days instead of a week. So there's lots to choose from. But if you have questions, you can always email or call us. And our toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. We also have a catalog we mail out. Our 15th anniversary catalog will be out real soon. It got bigger. It was a project that grew, Frank, and we expected to have it in the house already to mailing out, but obviously it's a little delayed, but it's the 15th anniversary, so it's got to be good.
Hey, bigger is better. Isn't that what
I'll believe you.
And I know that you can get to your website from herbtalklive.com also, if you can't remember the other thing, if you just remember the show. Mm-hmm. Now, don't you have a new, I don't know what you'd call it, a new feature or a new thing on your website? Dr. Mom?
Well, that's... Moms were always the doctors in the ancient days, and it's a resurgence of this Dr. Mom thing. So to help people with their selections, to know what's, you know, good for moms, good for kids, good for moms that are expecting, we have these Dr. Mom approved icons on our website. They also are going to appear in the 15th anniversary catalog too. So you can look for those, and that helps you make really fast selections on, you know, what kids can tolerate, what moms can order for kids, and what moms can take if they're expecting. So we're trying to think of ways to help people. It's a learning curve, Frank, these herbs and what they're good for. So we're trying to help people fast-track their learning curve a little.
Well, I think more and more families are realizing that, you know, running to the doctor may not be your best first choice. You may, you know, want to try your best to take care of things yourself. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, leaning in that direction more so than, say, you know, 15 years ago or so.
Yeah, I think the Affordable Care Act helped push it in that direction.
I think so.
I think they're starting to wake up and say, you know, I don't want to be on this drug the rest of my life. I want an actual real, you know, real 100% authentic cure, not a disease management option. I want a cure.
See, this Obama guy's been great. He's been great for alternative health care promotion. He's been great for gun sales. Man, this guy, you know, he's just been great all the way around, hasn't he? Anyway, Wendy, we're out of time for this segment. I'd like to thank you for being on, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thanks. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All righty, Wendy. Well, folks, we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay right where you're at. We'll have some more financial survival.
pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
We're back. This is Financial Survival. My name is Francis Steffen. I am sitting in for Melody and Al today. They've got the day off, actually a couple days off for Thanksgiving. Tomorrow everybody has the day off here at American Voice Radio. But today I'm sitting in and doing Financial Survival. We just had Wendy Wilson on. Good information about flu and colds and what you can do about it yourself, folks. Because look, if you're sick and dying, all the money in the world isn't going to help you, okay? It isn't going to do you any good. It might do your family good. I mean, that might be okay, but isn't going to do you any good because I'm sure you've already heard that you can't take it with you. Anyway, let's talk about something that has kind of been in the news a little bit here. Not that much, but a little bit, and global warming, right? Here's a headline. Scientists confess global warming is a $22 billion scam. Now, why is this on financial news? Well, because $22 billion scams cost somebody money. Now, they might make somebody $22 billion, but they're getting that $22 billion from somebody else. Okay? And there's a lot of data coming out to show that this whole global warming, climate changes, is a scam. It is a scam. And the scam is they want to create another market. Okay? That's my opinion of it. Because you've heard of the carbon credit market, right? Everybody's going to get carbon credits. You're going to be assigned, well, let's see, a man or a woman, you get to do this much carbon in a year. Well, what happens if you use more than what you've been allotted? Well, then you have to go buy more. All right? That's the market. You have to go buy more. Now, this doesn't affect men and women individually that much, at least not the way it's been put out. But then again, it would eventually grow to become a huge tax, I'm sure. But it's mainly for businesses. So let's just say I've got a carbon-heavy industry, and then somebody else has a light carbon industry. Well, I'm allotted so many carbon credits a year. They're allotted so many carbon credits a year. So let's say I burn through my carbon credits in 9 months. But let's say they've got a surplus because they got lots of carbon credits too, but, you know, they haven't used them. So what happens is they end up being traded on a market, just like in the stock market. Do you get the scam here? See, they're trying to create another fiat market, a fantasy market. This is like playing NFL fantasy football where you, you know, put together your little fantasy team. It's not a real team, but you play it like it is. Except they're playing with, well, I don't want to say real money because it's not really real money. But they're playing with dollars. They're playing with what you get your wages paid in. Because they realize, see, I think they realize their whole little Ponzi scheme, fraud, con game here is coming to an end. Now, they can bubble up the stock market as high as they like. All bubbles pop eventually. And this bubble is not going to be any different. So the higher it goes, the more dangerous it is. You know, people look at it and go, woohoo, man, I'm making lots of money in this stock market. This is great. Just nowhere to go but up. Nothing but blue skies. Where's that 1920 song? Blue skies, nothing but blue skies. How'd that work out? Wait a minute. It worked out with the Great Depression. Yeah, that's what happened there. And we are on exactly the same track. I mean, if you look back at what led up to the stock market crash, and what happened in the few years after the stock market crash, you're going to find out we are on the same flight path, right into the mountainside, okay, than they were in 1929. Exactly the same, you know, look, if you create the same situation, and you see the same things happening, you got to figure it's going to keep going that way. Now, a lot of folks are saying, well, hey, you know, come on now. These guys who run, you know, they run the world finance, they know what they're doing. They're not going to let that happen. Well, that's what they said back in 1929. These guys know what they're doing. Yeah, they'll do it. Yeah, they'll get it. Well, back in the day, instead of the government coming in and saving the day with quantitative easing. See, that's what we call it now, quantitative easing. What it is just pumping money into the markets. That's all they're doing. They're just creating money out of thin air and pumping it into the markets. And what it really amounts to is a transfer, or should we say a redistribution, of wealth. That's what's really going on with quantitative easing. Because as they just create money out of thin air and just pile it into the markets and pile it into the banks and pile it into insurance companies and whoever else they decide is too big to fail, well, that comes from somewhere. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but they're spinning it out of thin air, so it doesn't really come from anybody. Well, it does, in the form of inflation. Because while, you know, they say inflation's what, some ridiculously low number, is that what you've been experiencing? I mean, honestly, is that what you've been experiencing when you go to the grocery store? Now, I realize gasoline prices have come down, but really, let's look at the relation between what a barrel of oil costs now and what a barrel of oil cost not long ago, and the gas prices, okay? Because I remember when a barrel of oil was $140. So a barrel of oil is $140, and gasoline was almost, and I'm talking, you know, $3.90 a gallon for gasoline. Okay. And they, you know, they told us, oh, well, you know, hey, here you go. This is why, you know, this is why, obviously. I mean, come on. You know, it's $140 a gallon for crying, a barrel for crying out loud. That's why the gasoline prices went up, and that made sense to everybody. Okay, well, all right, fine. So we're almost at $4 a gallon because a barrel of oil is $140 a gallon. Well, okay, so I'm down at the gas station, and I see, woo, hey, this is pretty great. You know, gasoline is only, like, what is it, $2.80-something cents? Wow, that's great. Went down a dollar. Yeah, it went down about a dollar a gallon. About a dollar a gallon. You getting that? But wait a minute. A barrel of oil is today at $75.78. That's nearly half of $140. Did your gas prices get cut in half? No, they didn't. Because if they did, gasoline would be about $2 a gallon. But it's like $2.80-something cents a gallon. So there's 80 cents there that is what? Inflation. That's what. That's really what it is. See, that's what that is. Because, hey, it should be $2. Well, maybe $2.10, okay? Because it is $75 a barrel, not $70. So, okay, $2.10, $2.20. So there's 60 cents, let's say, of inflation in that. See, you think, well, hey, there's no inflation here. Gasoline came down. But, yes, it came down, but it didn't come down as far as, you know, math says it should. You know, the relation to, well, $140 a gallon, a barrel, well, obviously that's why they're getting, you know, $4 a gallon. Well, really? Okay, then if it was $70 a barrel, it should be $2 a gallon, right? Right. Except it's not. Why? Because the dollar ain't worth as much anymore. Now, they say the dollar's getting stronger. Where? Where exactly is the dollar getting stronger? Okay, in the money markets. Just like the Dow Jones is going up and we're in a recovery. Do you feel like you're in a recovery? How can we be in a recovery with unemployment rates as high as they are? How can we be in a recovery when instead of getting full-time jobs, people are now getting part-time jobs? How can we be in a recovery when people's wages are going down? Well, because the stock market's going up and the top 5% are making bank. That's how. That's why. Because this is the gauge they go by. You see, folks, if you get to decide, okay, well, unemployment, let's say that. Unemployment, let's see. Okay, well, what are we going to count for unemployment? Well, we're going to count people who are filing for unemployment and are on unemployment. And we're going to look at the rise in unemployment as new people file for unemployment benefits. That's what we're going to do. Oh, well, okay. So what happens when everybody's unemployment runs out? We don't have any more unemployment. Unemployment's non-existent because nobody's allowed to get any unemployment benefits because they already used them all up. Is that what it is? Well, that is what it is. Except, you see, the unemployment rate stays about where it is because, you see, there's always more people becoming unemployed. That is an unrealistic way to count true unemployment, obviously, isn't it? A better way to count unemployment, in my mind, would be to look and see, well, okay, Let's look at the age of working Americans from, say, 18 to, you know, 60. What's that come out to? Bad news. It comes out to about 27%. Uh-oh. What's that mean? Well, that means that there's 27% of people of working age that are not working. Well, how can that be when the unemployment rate's only 6%? Oh, well, we go back to the whole thing. Figures don't lie, but liars can figure. Yeah. So, you know, that's where we're at, folks. You got to take the numbers you look at with a grain of salt sometimes and look a little beyond that. Okay? Now, here's a little article from MarketWatch. Gold fell to a four-year low earlier this month, but all hope isn't lost for the precious metal. Indeed, gold already has rebounded 6% from that nadir, with February gold futures trading at $11.98 late Wednesday on the COMEX. You see, okay, here we go again, folks. Again, you even have to watch the numbers and realize what they're telling you and how they figure things, even when they talk about gold. They're not talking about physical gold here. They're talking about the COMEX. They're talking about gold futures. Physical gold is not gold futures. Now, you might think it is. Your stockbroker, whoever you go to, your financial advisor might tell you they are, but they're not. If you're dealing in certificates or anything like that, shares, whatever it is, it's all paper. Okay, it's all paper. They say, well, hey, this paper's backed by gold. Okay, if I believed you, that might mean something. But really, when was the last time Fort Knox was audited? When was the last time the Federal Reserve was audited? How come the Germans had to wait 7 years to get half of their gold, physical gold? And then they just dropped the whole thing. Why is that? You know the story about that, right, folks? How during the Cold War, when it was understood that the Russians were either going to nuke Western Europe or they were going to roll right over it, well, actually, it was whether NATO was going to nuke West Germany to stop the Russians from rolling right over it because they outnumbered us something like, I don't know, 20 to 1 in tanks. So Germany has all this gold in its central bank and decides, well, oh boy, the Federal Reserve was such a good pal, they said, hey, tell you what we'll do. You pack up all your gold and ship it on over here to New York, and we'll keep it in our vault in the New York Federal Reserve Bank here to keep it safe, you know, from those mean, nasty Russians that are going to roll over Europe and steal all your gold. We don't want that, so we'll do you a favor. So Germany fell for it. And they gave the Federal Reserve all their gold to keep safe in America. Well, just what, 6, 7, 8 months ago, maybe a year ago, the Germans said, you know what, all this spying you've done on us and all this stuff, we've decided we don't trust you, you know, as much as we used to because apparently you don't trust us. So we want all our gold back. And the Federal Reserve said, no can do. Gee, why not? Well, no can do because we ain't got your gold is basically what it comes down to. We don't have your gold. Just like, you know, all your retirement funds, they don't have that either. All your pensions, that's all gone too. Social Security, gone. Because they steal it all, folks. This is not a new story, and gold isn't the only thing they've stolen. They steal everything. If you don't have your hands on it, you don't own it. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few. Stay right where you're at.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
All right, we're back. This is Financial Survival. I'm sitting in for Alan Melody. My name's Francis Steffen, and Financial Survival is sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver. Give Melody a call. Go to DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com. And folks, you know what? You need to get your hands on some gold and silver now. The prices are down. This is a good thing if you're a buyer. Okay, now, there's some ridiculousness out there that I've heard of that people say, well, gold's going to go down to $700 an ounce. Really? How? You know what? I was reading just the other day that it's estimated that the cost to produce 1 ounce gold coin, okay, this is ready to buy gold coin, is $1,000. That's, you know, all everything involved in getting it out of the ground, getting it into the whatever they do with it to melt it down and get it into a coin. And you might think, well, that's a lot of money. Geez, what are these miners getting paid? Well, it's not just that, folks. You see, the cost of doing business in today's world isn't just what it costs you to produce something. Because all companies out there are carrying a debt load. Well, maybe not all companies. See, you're always wrong when you say all or everything or everybody or anything like that. Okay? Most. Okay? Most companies are carrying a debt load. Meaning, just like you, you know, you probably got things every month you've got to pay. Right? You got your credit card. You got your mortgage. You got your car payment. You got something like that. Most people do. Some people don't, okay? But most people do. And some people have more than others. But most people are carrying a debt load, and so are businesses. So, mining companies are no different, okay? They have a debt load. They not only have their production costs that, you know, there's, you know, they got to pay people, they got to pay the light bills, they got to, you know, pay the maintenance on machinery. Maybe they got to pay some leases. They got to pay a lot of things that is just the cost of doing business. But then they also have a debt load because they borrowed money. That's capitalism, folks. That's modern capitalism. You borrow money to expand if you're, you know, doing it right. If you're not, you just borrow money so you can give your CEOs big bonuses and stuff. But anyway, that's what they figure. It's around $1,000 an ounce. Now, it might not be exactly $1,000. It could be $950. It could be $1,050. But it's right around $1,000 an ounce. So you tell me what's going to happen if the price of gold drops below that. Okay? What happens? Well, if you're in a business, you're going to say, well, okay, let's see. The price of the price I can get for my product is less than what it costs me to put that product out. I got to stop producing that product. And especially in this case, they would do it, I think, before it gets to that point, because they're going to say, you know, they know what goes on. They go, well, okay, let's see. If we stop producing, what's going to happen? Well, supply is going to dry up. What happens in any kind of market when supply dries up? Well, demand goes up because there's less supply. What happens when that happens? Prices go up. You see, prices go up, and then they get to a point where, hey, the business can say, well, all right, we can, you know, start cranking out gold again because now it's worth our while again. Businesses don't stay in business just for fun, okay? They stay in business to make money. And if the product drops, what they can sell it for drops below what they can produce it for, they're going to shut their doors. And that's going to affect supply. Now, supply and demand have been diminished in a factor in our economy because it's such a convoluted fantasy show going on in as far as the economy goes. But it's still a factor at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, if it costs someone more to produce a product than they can get for it on the market, they're going to stop producing that product. And then it's going to become scarce. And rarity drives prices higher. So folks, you know what? Now is the time to buy. Don't go with the herd. The herd is crazy. All right? I don't have any other better way to put it. The herd is crazy. I mean, the herd waits until, oh my gosh, gold is skyrocketing. Gold's going up. Oh my gosh, let's buy gold because it's going up. You know, and while they're spending their money on gold, while it's going up, they're going, oh, man, I wish I would have bought it when it was lower. Boy, I sure wish I could have got it lower. Man, I wish I would have bought it when it was whatever. But yet, they still wait until it starts skyrocketing before everybody jumps on board and says, well, I better get some of that, man. It's going up. No, 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 no. See, the herd is crazy. This is why most people are poor. Most people, meaning the herd, okay? The majority. Because they do stupid things like that. People who make money, who do well, they buy things when they're low. Then they sell them when they're high. That's pretty simple, huh? You don't need a college course to understand this. You buy low and you sell high and you make money. If you go with the herd and wait until everything starts going up to buy it, you'll be really fortunate to make any money at all. More likely, you're going to lose money. And then you're going to say, well, gold's a bad investment. No, gold's not a bad investment if you buy it right. And now's the time to buy, folks. I mean, if you don't see that, and if you really believe, if you're waiting for the basement, you better guess right. And I don't see how that can happen. Because, you know, just the fundamentals of things means, look, people are not going to produce a product if it costs them more to produce than what they can sell it for. And if it's true that an ounce of gold costs about $1,000 an ounce, you know, finished product, at the end of the day, after all the costs are considered, not just simply production, because you cannot ignore that you know, the debt load. Well, then you got to figure we are about, if we're not at the bottom, we're close to the bottom. And that's the time to buy. And I've heard Melody say, look, you can't time the market. You know, but people think they can. Just like people think they can go to Las Vegas and throw sevens all day long and come out a millionaire because they've seen it on TV. So they figure, hey, I could do that. Just like people figure they can walk into the 7-Eleven and drop $100 a week on lottery tickets because, well, other people have won the lottery, so can I. Well, you see, that's gambling. You want to gamble, gamble. But don't gamble with money you can't afford to lose, folks. And you see, gold and silver, precious metals, this is not, you shouldn't think of it like gambling, like you do with stocks and paper. This is more of an insurance, okay? This is more of a safety net, all right? Think of it that way. Think of it as, if you need to, plan B, whatever. You want to play around in paper markets and gamble, fine, you know, then gamble. You'd probably do just as well at Las Vegas, but hey, you can gamble any way you like to gamble. But you don't want to lose everything. You want to protect what you can. You want to protect some foundation of wealth. And precious metals, if you can think of some better way, and other people go, well, you know, we can invest in land. Yeah, okay, you can do that. But like anything else, folks, well, who was it? Was it Dillinger who said, if you can't keep what you've got, then it isn't yours. You don't pay your property taxes on your property, they will come and evict you. Now, that may change in the future when the whole, civilization fails. I'm sure they'll have bigger problems than worrying about, you know, who to evict off their land. But that's not where we're at right now. And, you know, again, if that's your idea, you're, again, gambling. Okay, you're gambling again. Now, I think people should, you know, have a place to live. If that's what you're going to buy property for, is to live on it, then I don't have anything against that at all. I'm talking about property as investments. At this time, I don't think that's a great idea. Unless you got more money than you know what to do with, and you got your whole house full of gold and silver and you can't fit anymore. And that's another thing. See, people got this crazy idea about physical gold and silver that, oh my gosh, it's so bulky and it's so heavy and it's so, where am I going to put it? What am I going to do with it? Oh my gosh, you know, it's just so much hassle. Well, are you crazy? I mean, honestly, a little stack of 20, they come in a tube, okay? A little plastic thing to where you can hold these coins in, okay? 20? Are you kidding me? That's $22,000. And it takes up what? 4 inches by 2 inches? You know, you can get a little lockbox somewhere. Stick in your wall or your floor or wherever, man. You know how much money you could put in there? I mean, unless you're a billionaire, well then, you know what? If you're a billionaire, I bet you could even put a safe in the wall or the floor. So, you know, that argument that, oh, you know, it's just so bulky and so, where am I going to put it all? What am I going to, you know, that, look, you know what? If you've got that much money, then, you know what? Fill up your safe with gold and, hey, then go gamble, you know, whatever. I mean, your worries are not that big. I'm talking to people out there that have, you know, whatever you've got that you don't want to lose. And then there's people that say, well, you know, that's not safe. I mean, what if burglars or robbers or home invasions come around and, take everything I got? Well, for one, here's some advice. Don't tell anybody you've got gold. Because most people that get robbed by people that know them. Do you know that? Yeah. You start shooting off your mouth about all the gold and silver you got at your house. Hey, guess what? Somebody's going to decide, well, I'll just go rob it. Then the other thing is, well, where are you going to keep it? You know, you're going to put it in, frames on the wall so everybody can see how rich you are? Or are maybe you're going to put it somewhere hard to find? Conceal it. Because, look, if you think you're going to put a big fat safe in the middle of your room, hey, safes can get, people can get into safes. I don't care how much you spend on it. People can break into safes. But if they can't find the safe, then they can't get into it. Now, can they? And if they don't know you have any gold or silver, why would they even bother to look? So, you know what, folks? Your stuff at your house, kept quiet and concealed, is a lot safer than anything you ever thought about putting in a bank or a safety deposit box. Because you know what? That's a bad plan. In my opinion, putting valuable things in a safety deposit box is a bad, bad plan. Because they've already changed all the laws that the IRS or any other government agency can walk into your bank and say, open it up, and they'll open it up. And if they figure, hey, you know, we've decided that this is probably here from criminal activity of some sort or another, they take it. And they don't even have to charge you with a crime. It's called civil forfeiture. All right? So if you think your stuff is safe at a bank, you're thinking wrong. Plus, hey, well, I know what I'll do. I'll invest in my retirement fund. How safe is that? How safe is that? Ask the city workers in Detroit how safe that is. Ask the people on Social Security that every year get told by the politicians, well, if you don't vote for us, your Social Security is going to be taken away. You won't have any. It's going to go broke. Going to go broke. There was a big surplus. What happened to that? Oh, wait a minute. Congress stole it. Yeah, it was in a separate account that they weren't supposed to mess with. But then they changed the law, stroke of a pen, and said, hey, let's put this in the general fund because, well, we want money and we don't want to raise taxes. So here you go. See, the government was the first to start robbing retirement funds. Unions and, municipalities just followed suit after that. Folks, if you can't put your hands on it, you don't own it. And things are safer with you than they are with anybody else. You don't keep your guns and your food somewhere else 1,000 miles away, do you? Don't keep your precious metals there either. Give Melody a contact Melody at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com. Get some gold and silver, physical gold and silver, folks. Do not fall for the paper fraud, please. Anyway, I'm out of time. Anyway, have a great Thanksgiving. And Melody and Al will be back on Friday. Thanks for listening.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.